Galatians chapter 6 is where we're reading from today. My life verse is I'll preach on today. Galatians chapter number 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, concerning thyself, lest also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here it is. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Father, thank you so much for the word of God today. I do pray, God, that you use it. Take it now and serve it on the table of the hearts of everyone in here that each one of us may eat and be filled and strengthened. Use the word of God. Nothing does like the Bible does. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. Make a difference. Save those that are lost and strengthen, stir, and change the hearts of those that are saved. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This letter from the Apostle Paul, Galatians, is written not to one church, but to several churches in the region of Galatia. These churches that were dear to the heart of Paul, that he'd either started or been impactful to in their lives, were now churches that he had left and departed from them, who had been seduced, invaded, and infiltrated by false doctrine. Now let me say from the onset of the message today, folks, false doctrine will destroy any church. Let me say that again, and those of us crossroads ought to agree with that. False doctrine will destroy any church. This church, these churches in Galatia had been infiltrated by Judaizers, and Judaizers were practicers of the law. In other words, they couldn't let go of ordinances. They could not let go of rituals. They could not let go of all of the Levitical sacrifices and the rites and all of the issues that the law entailed. They could not relinquish those things. So now they had crept into the churches of Galatia, and they were mixing, now watch this now, the law and grace. They were saying that it's not grace alone that saves you, but it is grace plus works that save you. And can I say to you, that, my friend, is nothing short of false doctrine. I don't care what the world says. I was speaking to someone just last week, and he was referring to the fact that all of us are religious and all religions lead to God, and we're all going to get to heaven on different roads. And I reminded him that Christianity is not a religion. Listen to me. Religion is man working his way to God. Started way back at the Tower of Babel, where they tried to build their way up to heaven on their own strength. Listen to me. I don't care how hard you work or how hard you try in and of your own strength and depending upon your own marriage, you as a sinful person cannot approach the presence of a holy God. And here they were mixing the law and grace. You must need grace, but you must do certain things in order to be saved. And Paul begins to write back to them and remind them that we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. You remember the letter to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, they were mixing up root and fruit. Can I get an amen there? They were They were mixing up the fruit of salvation with the root of salvation. You see, the root of salvation is faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and repentance of your sin. It is recognizing that I and my nothingness can do nothing to deserve salvation or to procure salvation. I must come on the merits of Christ and not on the merits of myself. I must understand that in my flesh, there's no good thing. I must understand I am utterly despicable. I am depraved. I am separated from God. If I could get to God without Jesus, Jesus would not have ever come. But he knew that I was lost and undone. I was doomed and damned to hell. And without his sacrifice, I could not be saved. The root of salvation is grace without nothing else added to it, you see. But the fruit of salvation is good works. Amen. And Paul's reminded them, you don't do good to get saved. You get saved and then do good. Amen. On top of the seducing by these Judaizers, the churches of Galatia had also fallen prey to being turned against Paul. And these that he loved, that according to chapter 4, he was willing to travail in birth again and again, that Christ might be formed in them, they turned on him, questioning his authenticity, scrutinizing his genuine apostleship, acting like he wasn't for real. And he has to spend almost the first two chapters just qualifying himself to people that wouldn't be going to heaven if it were not for his influence. They turned on him. You talk about Paul. He had to get a heart that forgives. Amen. So he spends a lot of time dealing with the issue of legalism and that works don't get you saved. As a matter of fact, he finally gets over to chapter 5 and reminds them, you're not in bondage, reminds them, you don't do good to get saved. And so he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, he's saying, listen to me, salvation is not a binding thing. Salvation is a liberating thing. When you get saved, you don't get tied down and locked up and strapped down. Listen to me, when you get saved, you get set free. Hey, some people think, I don't want to get this Christianity because I ain't going to be able to go nowhere, do nothing, wear nothing, act like nothing. I'm locked up in bondage, no life, I'm bored. What kind of Christianity are you talking about? I'm having the time of my life serving God, getting up every day free from the bondage of sin. The devil can't control me. Sin can't bind me. The world can't kidnap me. The flesh can't take me hostage. I've been set free. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside of me. I've got individual access to resurrection power. Amen. But that doesn't mean you don't have to work at this thing. You don't have to work to get saved. But if you say, you got to work. Let me say that again. You don't have to work to get saved. But if you say, you got to work. Because you'll end up living like you never did get saved. Acting like you don't know what saved is. Amen. And so he challenges them in chapter 5. I'm not preaching on this. But chapter 5, he deals with the conflict between flesh and spirit. And it is a battle. If you're a Christian and you won't tell me today you came to church and you did not battle your flesh this week, you're not saved. If you cruised your way into doing everything right this week, you're not saved. And you're a liar. Because nobody cruises through life like that. The best Christian we know in the Bible said it's a struggle. It's a battle. Listen to me. You think the biggest battle you have is with the person whose personality you don't gel with. There's a bigger battle going on in life other than what's her name and what's her name and he get on my nerve. I'm talking about spirit and flesh. I'm talking about all good versus all bad. Amen. Your flesh is all bad and the spirit is all good. Amen. And there's a battle because the flesh didn't get saved. I said the flesh did not get saved. The spirit got regenerated and revitalized and raised up together with Christ, but you still have a rotten, stanky, ranky, low-down, sorry flesh. The best of us. And so Paul is writing to people who were in the middle of this struggle, battling hard. If they weren't battling false doctrine within, they were battling foolishness without. Amen. Now, I want to give this thought to you as we get to Galatians chapter 6. It's obvious from the context of this passage that these people, in the midst of this struggle and conflict, hear me now, hear me well, had gotten tired. They worn out. This serving God thing, this going to church, reading my Bible, living holy, wearing me out. They were tired. Do you hear me? I said they were tired. And so Paul gives this great verse that I've taken for so many years as my light verse, because it gives me great comfort. Because I'm going to tell you something, where he's writing today is where I see most Christians in their lives. He says, I know that you're worn out and I know that you're struggling, but he makes this statement in Galatians 6 verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I want to challenge the church of God this morning. I want to challenge you today, because I can tell when I come on Sundays, I can tell when I come on Wednesdays, I can tell when I call every member's name throughout the week, I can tell in my spirit that there are folks in here who love the Lord. They want to honor God. They want to do right. But during the week, you get beat down and you get worn down and you get beat up, and it's hard. This Christian life is hard to serve God. It's hard to do right. Have you been out in this world today where you got coaches molesting boys and you got people sleeping around and you got crime? You don't know who you can trust. And not only that, it seems like unrighteousness is exalted while righteousness is disdained. It's a hard life to serve God, and yet we want to and we desire to. But sometimes we go through the week and financial struggles and physical calamities and difficulties in our lives, they wear us down, they beat us down. And somebody I'm talking to today is about ready to throw in the towel. You're about ready to give up. You're wondering if it's really worth it anymore. I want you to know it is still worth it. It still matters. It's still the only life worth living. But yet we're tired. And I want to challenge you in this thought today. Don't get tired of doing right. I'll say it again. Don't get tired of doing right. Watch this now. Because right ain't going nowhere. Amen. Right was the main thing before wrong ever was. And there's coming a day where everything gonna be right. Amen. I'm looking forward to the day where I don't have to fight the flesh. When that trumpet sounds, this mortal shall put on immortality, this corruption put on corruption, then shall the saying be brought to light, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of death, strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. But in between that time, he said, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You may be sleeping. You may be frustrated. You may be worn down. You may be beat up. You may feel like the world is against you. But I'm here to tell you, press on. Keep on moving. Don't you give in. Don't get tired of doing right. Amen. And look at this passage of scripture today. Number one, why not to get tired? Doing right. Number one, there's a scriptural principle we must understand. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He'd sow to the flesh, shall reap corruption. He'd sow to the spirit, shall reap life everlasting. Now, here's why you, this is why you don't need to get tired of doing right. Because God's got a scriptural principle that, guess what? You will not, nor will anyone else, defy. And this thing about sowing and reaping. This is why you can't get tired. This is why you can't quit before the game's over. Because God's going to even things out. This one, y'all, you listen to somebody say amen. You can't throw in the towel before this thing is over, because God has a way. Hey, I'm not talking about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm talking about the law of the eternal, all wise, all seeing, unchangeable, ever present God. So I must be aware of the doctrine. If you're taking notes of scripture, I must be aware of the doctrine. What's that man sow? That shall he also reap. Okay? So let's relearn or learn for the first time for some of us the doctrine of sowing and reaping. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, you reap what you sow. Say it again. Come on, say it loud. What'd you say? Okay, so here's something we need to learn about sowing and reaping. Come on. You reap what you sow. All right, come on. You throw down corn seed, you're growing corn. I'm not a farmer, but I know that. Okay, you reap what you sow. Don't get tired of doing right. Because if you're sowing right, you're going to reap right. You're sowing good, you're going to reap good. Now you're sowing devilishly, you're going to reap devilishly. But that ain't God's fault. Amen. So you reap what you sow. Here's another thing about sowing and reaping we understand. You reap more than you sow. Come on now. You reap more than you sow. That means you throw down some, but always more grows than what you sow. Come on. And some people are getting a little mixed up because they're doing more growing than they are sowing. But I'm trying to tell you, you reap what you sow. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, that God is a good God. But I'm trying to tell you now, ain't no way, no how that you have been as good to God as he's been to you. Ain't no way. Now, I've been a pretty good Christian. People say, I come to church, I read my Bible. There's no way your goodness can match God's goodness. You might as well quit. Concede, throw up the white flag. You can't go in competition with a good God. God is good because you're good, because God is good through you. God's good because he's good by himself. So you reap more than you sow. Yeah. Number three, you reap in proportion to how you sow. Little, little. Lot, lot. I challenge you this. If every church member in the church was the same kind of church member that you are, what kind of church would we have? Well, I mean, that ain't really what. Wait a minute. That means if they attended when you attended, if they gave how you gave, if they witnessed how you witnessed, if they sang how you sang, they dress how you dress, what kind of church would we have? You reap in proportion to how you sow. We want big stuff for God, but want to give him little stuff. Come on. Come on, we'll give God leftovers and we want the first stuff. You reap in proportion to how you sow. So sow and reap. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap portion of how you sow. Principle number four, you reap after you sow. Amen. Those are the four undeniable, immutable, unchangeable, irreplaceable principles of sowing and reaping. You know what I'm saying? Don't run out to the field and see what's growing if you never did no sowing. I don't know why that plant won't grow, because you won't sow. Amen. You reap after you sow. In other words, if you want something to come back, you got to put something down. Now, here's what I'm saying. Don't get tired of doing right, because if you've thrown anything in the ground based on God's will, hang on a little while. Harvest is coming. All right, so you got to be aware of the doctrine. You have to avoid deception. Be not deceived. Now look, here's what Paul is saying to the Galatians. And I'm saying to the Crossroadians. Stop getting tricked. Stop getting tricked. The reason why you're tired of doing right, because you got tricked. The devil sold you a lie and you bought it. You bought it. Not only did you take it, you paid for it. Stop getting tricked. Be not deceived. You know why we avoid deception? Because we acknowledge divinity. God is not mocked. Are you hearing me? God is not mocked. Somebody say, I don't understand. That means God ain't going to be nobody's fool. That's what it means. You are not going to make a fool out of God. Amen. You are not going to make God look bad. Amen. Now you may be trying to, and the world tries to make God look bad, but you can't make good look bad, because good is all good. Amen. God is not mocked. It amazes me how many people try to fool God and trick God and lie to God and pretend with God and perpetrate in front of God. God is not your boss, not your mama, not your daddy, not your pastor, not your deacon, not your doctor, not your lawyer. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all powerful, all knowing, omnipresent, doesn't change. He's immutable. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's gracious. He's loving. He's merciful. We heard today, He's I am. Amen. So that means everything he ever was, he still is. Amen. He exists in every facet in the present. So I've got to get a hold of this principle. Now let me go number two. Scriptural principle. But there got to be some spiritual practices. Let me tell you what we quote it, but we don't really listen to what we're saying. Three words. In well doing. Say that with me. In well. Say it again. You know what that's saying? This verse does not apply to you if you're tired from cutting the food. Because you know what? It's people all the time worn out. But they ain't worn out from serving God. Come on. They worn out from serving themselves. Amen. I have zero sympathy for you this morning if you're tired because you partied all last night. Zero sympathy. You should be tired. Amen. And under heavy conviction. Amen. I'm not trying to be unkind, but don't ask God to bless you on Sunday morning when you live like the devil on Saturday night into Sunday morning. 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m. And think that you're going to knock it all off and erase it all out by showing your face at church. God never said show your face. Amen. He said come together and exhort one another to love and good works. He said come together and worship me in spirit and in truth. You get no credit for being checked off on the roll. You get credit for coming in the house of God and doing business with Almighty God. Amen. And he says, don't be weary in well doing, in well doing. I'll not take time to go back to Galatians 5, but it's very clear that well doing includes a holy life. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let me take time. I said I wasn't going to go back, but the Holy Ghost yanked me over. Chapter 5. Hear me now. Here's the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Wait a minute. Some of you smiling. You passed all of those, huh? For real? Envyings? Oh, man, you had to read that one? Murders? Drunkenness? Revelings? By the way, that has the idea to do with all that crazy partying. And I like how the Holy Ghost does. In case I left any out and such like. So that means everything else that's anti-God that I didn't put all in the verse, but you knew when I mentioned the other ones, you thinking of the ones I didn't mention. Amen. Isn't it amazing how God can just get close to what we are and just him coming around? You know, it's amazing, teenagers. Your mom and dad can walk in your room and you start grabbing stuff they don't even know in there. And all they were doing was to say good morning. But when somebody in charge comes in the room, all of a sudden you start getting nervous. And then you ever heard somebody denying something you didn't even ask them about? I'd like to talk to you. I didn't go over there to the. I just want to know how things were going. Come on. The authoritativeness of God causes us to get shook up a little bit. And we ought to get shook up. The problem is that we're more shook up by people of God than we are about the person of God. And it ought to be, I don't have to walk in church or my mama don't have to walk in my room. It ought to be to acknowledge the omnipresence of God and understand when preacher ain't there and mommy ain't there, God's still there. So, holy life. If you're tired this morning, living holy, don't get tired. If you're not living holy, I hope you're worn out. The way of the transgressor is hard, Proverbs 13. The hardest life to live is a sinful life when you've been redeemed. I watch people that I used to know living for God, done walked away from God, and it's amazing how young people can start looking so old. Amen. Drinking to age you. Drugging to age you. Partying to age you. Come on, ladies. Sleeping around to age you. Amen. Party life for age you. People say all the time, I don't understand how you do it. Running up the street all the time, getting on planes and preaching it, and don't get no sleep on the Holy Ghost of God, and the grace of God shines on me, and when the body should have dropped dead 3 weeks ago, I'm running like the Energizer Bunny. Why? Because the Bible said God takes knowledge of well-doing. Holy life. Watch this now. Humble life. Galatians 5. If I'm to be filled with the Spirit, I got to let God be God. Amen. Watch this if you're taking notes. A helpful life. If you're tired because you've been helping people, God bless you. If you're tired because you're stuck on yourself, you should be tired. Not stuck on yourself. As we therefore have opportunity, let's do good. Amen. I ask you a question. When the last time you got worn out on the behalf of somebody else? When the last time you pulled in after church worn out because you dropped a bunch of people off? Not because you were tired before you ever got to church. Amen. Because you were doing unchurch-like things. Amen. Listen, God, do you think God doesn't know our bodies get worn out? This verse is not talking about fatigue. It is talking about where your spirit becomes wearied and it's running out of juice and it's about had enough of this Christian stuff. I hear people say this all the time. I'm tired of this. That's it. Who are you serving? You better be glad God did not wake up this morning tired of you. You better be glad. And I guarantee you, you give him way more reasons to be tired of you than he give you to be tired. I wish somebody helped me preach today. I'm trying to tell you that the goodness of God, Romans chapter 2, is what brings us to repentance. And it wasn't God browbeating you and whipping you with a cat of nine tails that made you want to get saved. It was his love in spite of your mess, your sorrowness, your failures, and your mistake. Couldn't get a job, couldn't get in school, couldn't get hired, got too bad of a record to fill out an application. But Jesus, the lovely Son of God, walk down your driveway and stop past your house. Thank God for a good Savior. And we want God to know, I'm tired of doing this stuff for you.
I know. I'm just going to hide before I see it. Don't shoot. Don't shoot. Don't throw nothing. God does not need you. He don't need me. We all try, like to believe that way. I don't know what God would. God will tell you right now. I'm about to quit on you. And the only reason is stopping me, because I'm worried about how you're going to survive. Once I do. I'm not going to speak for God, because I would. Can I conjecture? I imagine that God is going to survive without you the same way he did before you. I'm simply trying to tell you, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. God took dust and made Adam, but ain't nobody took nothing and made God. God existed in the eternal past all by himself. He's not been invented. He's not been manufactured. He's not been created. He's not been patented. He has not been produced. He has not been conjured up. He has not been experimentalized, hypothesized, or energized. He is God and God alone. He doesn't need us. I am not at church this morning preaching to you because God called me in and said, man, I'm at wit's end. Man, them people, man. I gotta have you, man. I can't pay you what they pay, but I'm just saying, you got to do this for me. Are you kidding me? Now, we say that in jest. That's how we act sometimes. Threatening God. How dare we? God, if you don't bless me by this date, you better get by this date out your mind when you talk to God. I'm giving you a deadline. If you have not done this by this date, I'm done. You better watch out. God be to move the date up. Go on now. Listen, God is not making out by this partnership. You and I are. Amen. Amen. So there's got to be a holy life, a humble life, and a helpful life. Number three, I'm getting there. Sovereign promise. A sovereign promise. Here's the sovereign promise. In due season ye shall reap. In due season ye shall reap. Why don't you do a study on the shells of God in the Bible? Huh? The S-H-A-L-L-S's. Not the S-H-E-L-L-S's. We have broken a lot of shells. God has not. Amen. You're saved today because of a shell. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hey, the reason why I'm preaching today is because of a shall. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall endure forever. I'm basing my whole existence on the shalls of God. What you basing yours on? My job told me they shall. My husband told me he shall. My parents told me they shall. Ain't a man on earth that hadn't broken a shall. God never broke a shall. Ye shall reap. Ye shall reap. Watch this now. This is why we hang on. Because God said, I'm going to give you a timely blessing. Watch this now. I like this. In due season. I like due season. winter, spring, summer, fall, and due season.
That's right.
It's the best one. Now, here's the thing about due season. You don't know when it is. Amen. But it's none of your business. It's his business. Well, I think that by now I should have, due season, not your business. Timely blessing. I said timely blessing. What do you mean? It's punctual. He may not come when you want him, but he'd be there right on time. If I'm Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if I'm God with them, I'd have never let them go to Babylon, but God knows better than I know. Amen. I'd never let them be tempted with meat and wine, but God knows better than I know. Amen. I'd have never sent them somewhere where they made laws where they had to bow down to a golden image. But God knows better. And when they went before Nebuchadnezzar and said, we're children of God. If I'd have been God, I'd have hushed Nebuchadnezzar up right there. But I'm not God. God knew about Babylon. He knew about meat and wine. He knew about the golden image. He even let them get thrown in the fiery furnace when it was turned up 7 times hotter. But when it was time and when God was ready, no fire burned them boys, because due season is always the best season. Are you looking at your watch? God, did you hear me praying? God, you know we already broke. Another something? God, I know you can answer this kind of prayer, God, because I watch other people in church get the answer I've been trying to get. So I know that you can do it. When are you going to do it for me? Come on now. We are good at getting mad with God when somebody else gets the answer we were waiting for. Hey, you see my new car? When mine's? Just got a job. I went to school longer than you did, and I can't get one. Wait a minute. You know why you haven't gotten one yet? Because your due season didn't come yet. And it ain't your job to be mad at somebody else's due season, because the due season of God, a timely blessing, it's not only punctual, but it is personable. And that means God can't due season cross the board. God can't commercialize or corporatize due season. God's got to bless you and you and you and you and you and me all at different times. I'm glad that God is not limited to human capacity or the exhaustion of mental intellect. I'm glad that God can have a whole world and a whole bunch of Christians. I'm glad that God can know your bank account and mine at the same time. You may get a raise that time, and I may get a raise another time. But it doesn't matter, because due season is always the right time. It's personal. It's punctual. It's providential. It's perfect. Timely blessings, true benefits, we shall reap. If you're taking notes, earthly benefits and eternal benefits. I'm glad that everything I get, excuse me, let me phrase it. I'm glad that not everything I get will be in heaven. Listen, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. But I'm trying to let y'all know I am enjoying the ride. Now, we all going, everybody saved, going to heaven. But I made up my mind I was riding first class. Amen. I've done it enough. Now I get to do it almost every time because of status. They just upgrade me automatically. And I thank Lord for they treat you different up there. I'm telling you the truth. Yesterday, the rest of the crew got one little pack of peanuts and a plastic cup of juice. Only hour, 10-minute flight. But us, first class, I walked in. Can I take your jacket? Would you like something to drink? Coffee? Cocktail? No. But in first class, they just drink. You should watch those folks. They drink all they want for free. And coach, you got to pay for that drink. Amen. Some of y'all need to fry coach. You won't be tempted. All right. Praise God. All right. So, then she give you something before you take off. Then we take off and she come with that basket, that snack basket. Got so much good stuff in it. Not just peanuts. They got peanuts in it. Twix. Reese's peanut butter cups. Real good cookies. Little granola stuff. And she just hold the bag out to you, the box, the basket, the thing. She just hold it out and you grab as many as you want. Then she come back again. One more. First class? In coach? One. And you think she coming back to ask you, do you want more? She come back to ask you, are you done? Is that trash? No. Do you see it's still half full? That one cup, you trying to take it off. Time to land, need to take it. I'm like, time to drink, sit down. You know, I mean, it's the same plane, but it's whole different treatment. You know what I'm finding out? When you start sowing into things of God, we all are saved going the same place. But I'm enjoying riding first class because I'm finding out he hands out blessings. And before I can finish the one I ate, he come back with the basket again. Are you done with that last mercy? It goes some more. Are you done with that last goodness? It goes some more. I gave your wife, it goes some kids. Gave your kid, it go a house. Gave your house, it go a car. I gave your blessing, it goes some more. Blessing after blessing. Keep on following me. First class. Now, last point, and I'm done. There's a serious prohibition. Here's where the metal meets the road. Rubber meets the road. If we faint not. Some of you right now, you pumped up. Oh, yes. Just good. Here's my boarding pass. I'm in first class. Leather seats. Only two people. Nobody bunched up, but you can see it's bigger. They lean back further. Free headphones. Long flight. Real meal. Real glasses. Real plates. Some of you are like, that's me. But I got to tell you something. You don't qualify if you faint. Let me say that again. You don't qualify if you faint. Some of you have fainted. Come on. All of us at some point have fainted. We let the pressure get to us. We let the struggles get to us. You know what God's saying? You're going to have to have some persistence. You're going to have some passion. You're going to have some perseverance. You're going to have to keep going when you don't feel like going. You're going to have to keep singing when you can't find the notes. You're going to have to keep praising when it's at midnight and you're locked up. You have to keep serving when your body doesn't feel like it. You have to smile when your money's funny. Why? Because God is still good all the time. And I've got to remind myself, I can't get my due season if I'm passed out. I can't get my due season if I punch in, clock out early. I can't get my due season if I put in for early retirement. I can't get my due season if I get fed up and stressed out and worn down and tired out. I can't get my due season if I quit church, if I skip my giving, if I get out my ministries, if I back down, if I give up on raising my kid. I can't get my due season. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No. But the due season holder does. Don't be weary. I said, don't be weary. Now, there are people in here today, you know good and well, things are getting to you. I know what I'm, and listen, I know what I sense and I know what I know. And I know people, I know, listen, I know good people in this church who are going through it. I'm talking about going through it. I'm talking about going through it. You ain't gonna find a sweeter lady in the world than Christine Dawkins. They don't come no sweeter. Now I could pick 2,000 better candidates for what she's going through. But I'm not the due season holder. You understand what I'm saying? We look out and we think, there are a lot of people who don't love God, who don't honor God, who don't. Why aren't they struggling? God asked for God. His way is perfect. He knows what he's doing. There are people in this church who have lost loved ones. Breaks my heart. If I had been God, I'd have done it differently. But I'm not God. And God help us to understand we've got to learn how to let God be God. And we've got to determine by the grace of God. I can't figure it all out. I can't explain it. It doesn't even add all up on my calculator. But I know one thing. There's only one thing that I can hold on in life that never changes, that never can be wiped out. And that is the precious word of God. Do you hear me? The precious word of God. I've got to believe God, because at times he's the only one that I can trust. And I'm here to tell you, some of you today that are going through it, I just want to challenge you to look at God today and say, God, I'm worn out. I'm battling on my job. I'm battling in my home. I may have a wayward child. I may have a financial struggle. I may have a physical difficulty. I feel like giving up. I don't know what to do. Some days I feel like I can't tell whether I'm coming. Anybody feel like that sometimes? One trial after the next trial, one difficulty after the next difficulty, one crisis after the next crisis. But would to God, somebody in this church today would make up my mind, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give out. I know that problems in this life come, but trouble don't last all the way. You see, I may be troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. I may be perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I may be persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I may be cast down, but I'm not destroyed, because I know that no temptation taking me is such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that she may be able to bear it. Can I tell you, your break is coming. Your blessing is coming. God's going to show up and God's going to show out. But in the meantime, you place your feet down and you decide not to be moved. I'm not going to faint. 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 I'm tired, but I'm not going to faint. I'm struggling, but I'm not going to faint. I'm weary, but I'm not going to faint. Marital problems, not going to faint. Financial problems, not going to faint. Difficulties, not going to faint. I wonder if there's anyone in here today that's been leaning over the pinnacle of quitting on God and stopping on doing your things for God and moving away from the things of God. The temptation to quit is a real temptation. It's a legitimate battle. It's something that we all are faced with every day. But wouldn't you make the testimony to God today to say that you're greater than the pressure, you're greater than the persecution, you're greater than the difficulty? I wonder if there's anyone in here today that would determine by the grace of God, I'm not going to faint. 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 I listen to you. If you mean it today, why don't you stand up to your feet as a testimony to God and say, I'm not going to faint. 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 Listen to me. I'm not talking about getting charismatic. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about a testimony before Almighty God. I will not faint. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Be seated.